Once again, Good News Hour brings you a message from the Word of God. I'm going to ask your attention, please, to four distinct scriptures. The first one is found in the book of the Psalms. That's the very heart of your Bible, Psalm 14 and verse 1, which says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Now, this is the verse especially I would have you know. "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." And this is the conclusion, divine conclusion. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, I'm going to ask you to read, please, in the Gospel by St. John, chapter 8, and we shall read at about verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Now we shall ask you to turn to the 10th chapter of this same Gospel, and we're going to read in that portion that presents our Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep, St. John chapter 10, and we read at verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life of myself. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold or this flock, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold or one flock and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Now I'm going to ask you, please, to turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews for a final text. That's in Hebrews chapter 1, the book of the better things, and we read together, beginning at verse 1, which says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son," or literally, "in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." Now there are seven things said of him in this little section. Verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Now may God bless the reading of these precious portions, very simple portions, and at the same time, most profound. Now I'd like to have you take with me an upward look. Look up. You know, it's so natural and so easy to look down. We're creatures of sense and time, naturally, and the things of this world are the things that seem to charm us most and would, apart from the grace and the salvation of our God. But I want you to take a look far, far, far up, far, far away, farther than any human being has ever reached, and farther than any human natural person in the flesh can ever possibly reach. Now we have attained some high heights in the past two or three years, and there's no telling how far God will allow man to penetrate into space, but we want to take you beyond the various planets. We want to take you beyond farthest outreaches. We want to take you right up, as it were, into the very presence of God and give you a view of one who has a definite and a special interest in you. I do not care what your past has been or what your present is, and I wouldn't hesitate in making the statement that I have made and I am about to make, and would stress again and again that I want you to look up to Jesus, the Son of God, upon the throne, one who is interested in you. Interested in you, yes, long, long ere you knew him. And so I read to you about him in the 14th Psalm that tells us that the Lord looked down from heaven. And this is what met his gaze. He looked down upon the children of men. Now, I don't think he's specially interested in the mountains or the various bodies of water and the various things of beauty that we seem to appreciate so much. But listen, I can tell you that he looked down from heaven upon the sons of men. Yes, he looked down from the glory above, and what met his gaze was mankind in a state, in a fallen state, a state of distance from himself. And yes, as he describes it in his own words, he says, they are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. Ah, yes, friends, I'm not going to apologize for what my God saw and for what my blessed Lord Jesus Christ said. But you know, I wouldn't want to stand before this microphone if I could not go beyond that, merely tell you that the Lord looked down. And I wouldn't even want to go stand before this microphone to bring you a message if I could tell you that the Lord Jesus not only looked down, but he had tender pity and compassion in that heart of his. Why, he could have had all that and could have left us in our sins and in our guilt to wend our way in nature's darkness, groping in darkness, and then to eventually to wend our way to eternal ruin and eternal despair. But no, I'm glad to be able to tell you that as we trace his footsteps and see him as he's presented to us in the various scriptures that we've read to you, for they do mark progress. Yes, the first scripture tells us that he looked down. But I'm glad to be able to tell you that he did more than that. I read to you in John 8, and in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now, this scene, of course, occurred some 1900 years ago when our Lord Jesus Christ was in the presence of the very men that he had looked down upon, or mankind that he had looked down upon, and saw them as having gone astray, saw them as sheep without a shepherd, saw them as filthy before him. And that tender compassion on his part led him not only to look down, but to come down. Now, I can't tell you the distance from here to heaven. We're at once introduced into the sphere of immeasurable immensities. But I'm glad to be able to tell you that even though he looked down from heaven, he came down all the way. Oh, thank God he came down. Now listen, friends, I wouldn't even be happy to be bringing you the message that I have brought you, and I wouldn't be happy in spending my time, my talent if I have any, or money to circulate the gospel of the grace of God, if I couldn't go beyond what we have read up until this point. And so this brings me to a very happy, happy experience, a happy thought, yes, friends, and a most blessed, blessed truth, that that good shepherd who came from the glory of God did something more than that. It says of him, in fact, using his own words, he says, I lay down my life of myself. No man taketh it from me. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. But will you listen just for a moment? Ah, does he not say in that 17th verse, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. Now listen, the speaker can say today that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I love him? I love him because he looked down. I love him because he came down. Ah, yes, more than that. I love him because he laid down his life. A ransom for the guilty, a ransom for the lost. Yes, he laid down his life for this poor sinner's who's bringing you this message. Now, thank God, saved by his matchless grace, made one of his children, made one of his own. And I'm glad that I was one of the lost sheep for whom the Savior came, for whom he forfeited his life, that he might bring me to himself and eventually bring me to the Father's throne and the Father's home. Oh, wonder of wonders! And I repeat, friends, there ought to be love in your heart today, and how could there be otherwise? None ever loved you like God. None ever loved you like our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Infinite, limitless, immeasurable love. He could say, I lay down my life of myself. Now listen, no man takes it from me. I have the power, I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. Now once again, I want you to see my blessed Savior. Get another view of Him. He's back now, back yonder in the glory. And if you listen to this, it says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down. And you know that word purge means He made purgation or cleanse our sins. Then what did He do? He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And I'm glad to be able to tell you that I'm going to see my Savior. Ah, blessed be God. The work that He accomplished. He did not come into the world in vain. He did not die in vain. As a result of His death, He's going to bring countless numbers to the glory to celebrate the grace and the salvation of God, who will triumph in His triumphs forever and forever. Oh, has He won your heart affection? Can you say today, yes, I love that blessed one. I love Him because He first loved me, the psalmist did, and so will every heart that's really and truly won to Him. If you see Him dying for sinners, dying for you, you would love Him and love Him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Save the split second you exercise faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'd like to get a line from you. We're desirous to know that these programs are producing fruit in salvation and also blessing to the Lord's dear children. The only way we can know this is if you'll communicate with us. This address will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.